Do you enjoy playing relaxing puzzle games on your phone? I do. It's even better when they're free and you can collect prizes along the way. Welcome to Two Dots. I have been playing Two Dots to relax my mind, unwind, and there's something very methodical about it. The premise of the game is you connect dots horizontally, vertically, but never diagonally. And you head from level to level. And as I mentioned, you do collect points along the way if you are into that. More than 5,000 puzzles to keep you engaged and relaxed after a very long day. Uniquely designed challenges, game modes, and levels to choose from based on what adventure you are into. And by the way, you can download it for free right now on your Android phone or iOS. I also like the color template of this game. It's giving me very like pastel-y vibes. So yeah, I think you're going to enjoy it too. If you are ready to kick back and unwind, download Two Dots for free on Android and iOS and start connecting. Summer is almost here. Don't you want to go to the beach with thicker, gorgeous, beautiful locks? And everyone goes, hey, I love your hair. And you go, Nutrafol, baby. You know, something along that lines. Well, take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering my listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and you enter the promo code TSFS. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. I recommend it. I've been taking Nutrafol for years. It's how I got my hair back thicker and not falling out in chunks after I had KJ. Now it's your turn. Nutrafol has been on with me for years, and that's because you all continue to buy, and it really works. I love it. Now it's your turn to love it too. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com with the promo code TSFS. That's Nutrafol.com with the promo code TSFS. All right, Schman, my gosh, wow. Could you get any more enthusiastic to be here tonight?
I'm excited to be back on the show. I wear my finest outfit for it, as did you, for those of us listening at home.
We're very casual here on today's podcast. Welcome back. We have a big show today.
Big show. Lots happening.
We actually have two, I'm so fascinated by this, two online parent sports dilemmas that I want to run by you. As everybody knows, but if you're a new listener, we have a three-year-old son, and Schman is a very, very well-known, very well-respected youth soccer coach. And I am so curious. I cannot wait to read these to you and have you listen and see what your hot take is.
I'm going in blind, so you're going to get the hottest of takes with no, well, maybe not some, with some filter, but not a lot.
All right. Filter free. Is it the end of Taylor Swift? We're going to talk about the Tortured Poets album.
Oh, can't wait.
Did you listen to it?
Through all 31 tracks. Was there 31 tracks?
It's a double album.
It is a double album.
You didn't have any interest.
No, she's, I don't particularly, like, I understand who she is and why she care, why people care about her. But I, come after me, Swifties. I don't particularly care for her. And it's not that I don't care for her. I have no opinion.
Well, you clearly had a little hot opinion there.
Well, I feel like people need to get a grip.
All right, well, we'll discuss that and then also an update on our fertility journey. But I did want to start with something that I thought people might be able to relate to, and this is why Schman is not happy to be on the show today. One of us in the relationship may have cost our family $30,000, and I wanted to just throw this out there because I know this happens to other couples, okay? Because when you're married, isn't it like a wild ride? So many different things pop up.
Oh, it's a wild ride. You got to read. You got to make sure you are at the right height and the right weight, and it's not for the squeamish.
First of all, I don't feel guilty bringing this up because you tried to self-merch shame me over the weekend when I wore my own Sarah Fraser Show podcast t-shirt out here in Los Angeles, and you said, are you really wearing your own merch right now? And I said, you're damn right. You don't believe in yourself. You think other people are going to give you a show? Watch you?
Self-confidence and self-promotion are two different things.
Oh, and what do you think it was? Because, by the way, I was inundated with so many women who wrote to me, and they're like, Portnoy wears his own merch. Dave Grohl probably wears his own merch.
Well, then good for you. You know, to me, it just seemed...
You think Mark Zuckerberg...
Seemed a little... I don't know. I don't want to say desperate, but seemed a little gauche.
disagree totally. Okay. I guarantee Dave Portnoy just wears his own. People wear their own merch now all the time. But you don't like that. You're a subtle dude.
Well, I'm of many qualities. Subtle is one of them.
Look, I am thrilled this weekend for the first time in I don't know how many years. I am not in the doghouse.
Go on.
In our house, okay? I'm not in trouble. Look, the bottom line is this. Schman checked some... It's a whole thing with our taxes out here. Okay?
California and federal taxes. I checked the wrong box on a form.
And by doing so, our accountant notified us that we have a potential $30,000 tax bill.
That we needed that, yes.
Which I do believe will get resolved. So I don't think it's going to be that much. So see, I don't know why you're upset about this topic because it's
I don't keep score, so I don't know who's in the doghouse at any given time.
Oh,
apparently you do, so it happens.
Well, don't be
I was unhappy with myself. I've learned a valuable lesson. Make sure my accountant looks at the form before I turn it in. And I guess I'll just, hang my head in shame and do the old Charlie Brown walk. You know, just kind of kick some sand and rocks down the road.
I thought you were going to sell your booty hole on OnlyFans.
No, I'm going to do my feet.
Get us in the back in black. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. You do have amazing feet.
No, well, I really don't. My feet are.
They're like monkey toes. They actually operate like hands. Yeah. It's a little weird.
No, I can grip things. I don't know what the term is, but I'm kind of like Beast in the X-Men for those of you guys who are.
Yeah. And you could probably smoke a cigarette with those toes. Like, you could probably hold a cigarette and you're fairly flexible.
There's a market for that on OnlyFans?
Oh, 110%. There's a market for everything.
Well.
Look, don't beat yourself up. I just thought it was a great topic because I bet our listeners will make you feel better. I bet they have situations where they're like, yeah, my husband had a coin collection that actually was worth $100,000 and he sold it to our neighbor for $10,000. Like, he lost us $90,000. Mm-hmm. I guarantee there are people listening that will cheer you up.
Well, I look forward to hearing those responses because, you know.
Don't be you.
I'll get through it.
Come on, you do so much for our family. I knew you felt bad. You don't worry about it. It'll all work out. And it could be worse. Like, I thought to myself, you know what? At first I was a little getting hot under the collar towards you. But you do a lot for our family, and we are us against the world.
True.
I calmed myself back down. And I thought, you know what? It could be worse. It could be a gambling debt.
Could be.
If you had come home to me and you'd said, you know what? I listened to Big Cat and PFT commentary, and I put down $60,000 on the Masters, a spread, and I lost. Who won? Scottie Scheffler.
He would have been who I would have picked. So,
and I lost.
Maybe I should have dropped $60,000 on him.
That I would have lost it. But you didn't do that. So, no. See?
Okay. Well, good. I guess there's a sliding scale.
Send us your stories, please. Did your spouse... We'll keep you anonymous, but I guarantee people are going to make you feel better.
Okay.
My husband sold our house. I didn't realize he was selling it. We lost $350,000. If he had only done something different, I guarantee. Hang in there, champ.
Okay, thanks.
All right, let's, coach. Let's segue on to coaching. So, two trending topics. One, do you believe youth travel sports are destroying the American family?
I'm intrigued.
Oh, you are? Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to play for you right now. Let's shout out this gentleman and maybe tell me if you've heard of him and his podcast. John Delaney, Dr. John Delaney. He's a relationships, mental, and emotional health, I guess, therapist or activist. He hosts the Dr. John Delaney Show. He's a two-time Wall Street Journal best-selling author. So he must be a doctor of relationships, mental, and emotional health. He just put up a video. Here it is. He says travel sports are destroying the American family.
Period. And you...
Okay, here we go.
Travel sports are destroying American families. Period.
Okay.
Period. And you, as a well-tuned-in mom, are feeling the pressure... If you don't do this from these external coaches, if you don't do this, then your kid's not going to make this team. And if they don't make this team, there's no way they're going to get on this. And if they're not on this team, then how are they going to, right? You feel that. And right. It makes sense. And you have a 10-year-old telling you, I love this. I love it. I love it. I want to do it. I want to do it. I want to do it. And then you got that feeling in your mom gut that like something's off.
Okay, what do you think of this clip? It got a lot of discussion on his page that youth sports and this culture of traveling in youth sports to all these games. And actually, I think this is the second or third time I've seen this topic pop up. So what are your thoughts? Do you think kids are traveling too much for sports?
Yes, in the grand scheme of things, yes. And part of it is the natural evolution of what youth sports has become. And there is this kind of poetic remembrance of what the Sandlot days were like. Oh, we would go down the street and get the neighborhood kids together and play. And when I grew up, I had that. I was fortunate in my neighborhood. I had a bunch of kids who were a similar age, and we'd get together. We played soccer, we played hockey, we played basketball, we played football, and we would always be out playing sports together. And that sort of unstructured play doesn't exist anymore. And so it's all organized. And that is what youth sports is now. That being said, there are people who are way, way over committing themselves and their kids at young ages. There needs to be a balance to everything. Where it gets harmful is when kids are playing the same sport for the year,
okay,
and overtraining. Because what ends up happening is you get overuse injuries because these kids are not built like adults. They're still growing. And so you get repetitive stress. You get, it's why you see youth baseball players having Tommy John surgery at age 13, why you end up seeing, an increase in ACL and knee injuries in youth athletes, is that kids are playing a single sport and getting repetitive stress injuries because of it. Whereas a couple decades ago, you'd play one sport in the fall and a different sport in the spring,
sure,
and a different sport in the winter, and you'd have breaks during the summer. That is one of the harmful things from a physical standpoint. The other thing is from a mental standpoint, kids are just doing too much. They need breaks. They need to be kids. Where it's stressful for the families is that there is this culture of more and FOMO, where if I don't do this private training, my kid's not going to get better and he or she's not going to make that top team. And if they don't make that top team, they're not going to make their high school varsity program, or they're not going to make be ready to play college. And the reality is there is no linear development in terms of improvement for kids.
Okay, but what about travel specifically? Because is travel... And what this guy is getting at is that these travel sports, it's so expensive. Mm-hmm. You take away from the other children because that child becomes the focus. You have to go to all these weekend things. It disrupts their sleep pattern, all these things.
The issue, I think, for the families is that you have parents who are just committing their lives to their kids' youth sport. And, I played soccer pretty much year-round and did other things, but when I grew up, we still would have family dinner nights. What isn't necessarily every single night because of the schedules. But I find it, I don't think most kids and families are having family dinner nights during the week because they're scheduled all over the place. And some of these events, I mean, the youth sports is a very big business. So these out-of-state tournaments or out-of-town tournaments require, and this is not just soccer, it's a lot of sports, basketball and hockey and baseball, require a large commitment. And I think the key with families is balance, making sure that they know what they're going to commit to and what they're not going to commit to. They just communicate with the coach. But the other piece of this is you got to find your family time. You know, like when I had some games down in San Diego one weekend, you and KJ went with me, and we went and saw my cousin and her family. And, you know, like I carved out I had to coach for 4 or 5 hours, and you guys did your thing. But you just find your way to balance it out. Because the reality is with youth sports, it is hard to do something at a high level without committing.
Okay, well, that's what I was going to ask you is, do you have any advice for parents listening? How can they keep, how can they create balance, especially if you have more children? But to this guy's point, if you keep saying no to your son or daughter is a top soccer player, and you keep saying, we can't go to this tournament, we can't go there, we're out of town for spring break, we're, you know,
this is,
you,
they're not this going is to be. This is the advice I give to parents.
Okay.
Write this down. Start with the end in mind. Okay. What I'll pose this to you as a parent of a 3-year-old aspiring soccer player who technically in 3 years can try out for travel soccer in California. I mean, the kid's still being potty trained, and 3 years from now, he's allowed to try out. And in newsflash, he will not be trying out for club soccer at age six. Maybe 7 or 8, but he's not doing it at age 6. But anyways, what would you like your son, our son, to get from his youth sports experience?
Okay, one of two things. I do believe, I just actually went, it wasn't really a job interview per se, but let's just say Network was curious about my show. Mm-hmm. All right. So I just went on this interview and I loved the guy who was the CEO, and he, huge hooper. I think he's like 70 years old and he calls himself a hooper, and he still plays basketball, right? Yeah. You know, he's one of these guys, very competitive, but I really enjoyed him in all of his management, I guess, structure or lessons are based on sports. So he's a huge proponent of playing sports because it teaches you team management, people management, that it's, you're not always going to be the star, but you can help push something along. That's really amazing.
It's life lessons that will apply to your family, to your school, to your work, right? And that is what gets lost in everything that's happening right now, is that where you have families who, and I'll be curious to see where this develops, but there is this now culture of kind of club hopping. I'm going to play for this club this year and go for this club that year. And I look back and say, you know, if it's an improvement for the environment for the child and it's helping them accomplish their goals, so be it. But what is the quiet lesson that family's teaching their child, which is there's no such thing as loyalty. So how is that going to help them when they're in a relationship with a partner or when they're in a relationship with their work?
Right. That's a good point.
So I look at this and say, what do you want your child to learn? And it's life lessons. And you want them to be successful, but they also have to learn how to win gracefully and lose gracefully. So if they're not able from a physical and mental standpoint to commit fully to these high intensity teams, accept a spot on a lower team where there's a lower commitment. And there will be a kind of a Rubicon where a player needs to commit to a higher level if they're going to play in college. It used to be around age 13 or 14. And then a couple of years, you know, 10 years ago, it was more around 11 or 12 or 12 and 13. And now it's getting to be like 9 and 10 when kids are committing to one single sport,
what?
Which is just silly.
That's crazy.
So find your balance, communicate with your coach, let them know what the commitments are. But then you also have to be prepared to accept that if your child is not performing at the level they need to perform at, or other kids are performing at a higher level, they're going to get more playing time. But that's something that you have to be prepared to accept. So find the level and the club or the team that allows your child to still be a kid.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of the brand new and delicious You Natural Conception for Her in their juicy strawberry gummy flavor. Oh my, this is now my favorite thing to take. It's a fertility aid. If you haven't heard about them, they are unbelievable, with thousands of 5-star reviews on Amazon. Go and read them for yourself. And they're famous for their Conception for Her and Conception for Him formula, which Schman, my hubby, has been taking for over a month because it takes 2 to tango. Conception for Her fertility aid is well-researched, baby. They have ingredients like ashwagandha, zinc, magnesium that can help you on that journey to have a healthy baby. So what are you waiting for? Go and order now. You're going to love it, and I want to hear from you. Check out You Natural on Amazon and use code FRASER20 for 20% off Conception for Her, Conception for Him, and the Conception Bundle. That's EU Natural on Amazon, or follow the link on our website for 20% off Conception for Her, Conception for Him, and the Conception Bundle with the promo code FRASER20. That's FRASER, the numbers 20. How ironic! I love this. Got a new podcast for you to listen to. Yes, I do. It's the Dr. John Delaney Show. Schman and I were actually playing a clip from Dr. John's podcast because he was doing the topic of, are youth travel sports ruining families? Well, Dr. John Delaney has over 20 years of sitting with families and dealing with hurting people and mental health issues. He has a PhD in counseling. Delaney walks alongside real people as they navigate tough decisions. And this is actually something that I really enjoy about his show. It's caller-driven. I feel like I'm going to have to get a caller-driven show, Dr. John. I love this. Anyway, listen to the Dr. John Delaney Show wherever you get your podcast, or you can follow the link in the description of this podcast episode. I always make it very, very easy to find my sponsors and people that I partner with. So start downloading and listening today to the Dr. John Delaney podcast. Enjoy. 10 years ago, I lost 60 pounds mindful eating, and today I have kept the weight off. I never think about food. I never count calories. Honey, I don't even use one of those darn trackers or apps. I live with food freedom, and I want that for you if you are ready and you want it. And that's where My Optimal Body comes into play. Visit MyOptimalBody.com to request an appointment, and be sure to let them know that the Sarah Fraser Show sent you so you can qualify for a free personalized assessment, plus a bonus free 30-day supply of their gut repair product when you sign up for a customized plan. That is myoptimalbody.com to request an appointment. Why I wanted to partner with Dr. Applin is because he is a doctor that gets to the cellular and gut reason of why you can't lose weight and keep it off. They also work with your mental capacity as well. So many of us are emotional eaters. They address that, and their clients see long-term success. If you are ready to lose weight, keep it off, and you don't want to do crazy Ozempic, myoptimalbody.com. And tell them the Sarah Fraser Show sent you. Oh, interesting. Okay, well, that leads me to this next email that I'm curious. I'm also a part of a epic. In fact, I almost feel as though we'll have to read an email from this mom's group on Facebook.
I love it.
It is, when I tell you, it's the best group that I'm a part of. Why do I say that? Most groups that are on Facebook are hijacked by, I'm going to say, a dozen voices.
I love it. I love the people who hijack either like unintentionally or intentionally.
I cannot say. Most Facebook groups are 10 to 12, at least I'm a part of women's groups, women that take over. Mm-hmm. They are all negative, all victims of their own story, all victims of other people's stories. Their kids have tons of problems. And they become the center of it. I was a part of a molar pregnancy. You and I had a molar miscarriage. It was five women who everything that could have possibly gone wrong with them in their molar pregnancy journey did. They were never going to have kids. Doom and gloom. Their life was awful. And they took over the conversation.
Okay.
Now, I'm a member of a mom's one. Let's just call it Wise Moms. That's not the name of it, but a lot of them refer to each other as Wise Moms. It is, when I tell you, it is so epic. It is beyond epic. And there really isn't a standout voice because they're all bananas. And
I want to hear about it.
Joy out of this group.
You're not going to get in trouble for reading this post, are you?
I don't know. What's the rule with Facebook?
I don't care. Kick me out.
I'm the best thing that's happened to them. You say gauche.
I've heard that before.
You say gauche. You want gauche? They should be lucky to have my membership. What do you think of this one? I'm looking for advice on handling big feelings around performance in team sports. My 7-year-old son is playing baseball, and this is the first year where the players can strike out. In previous years, players stayed at the plate until they hit the ball. Now, that's problem number one for me, okay? He was at bat last night 3 times and struck out 2 with many foul tips. His team won, but he was despondent. He wanted to leave the game early. He was teary and sulky. He collapsed in a heat in front of his coach during the post-game debrief. Then when we got home, he started blaming himself for his performance, saying he was a horrible baseball player. This is 100% new behavior for him. How do we guide him through these moments, acknowledging his feelings while also essentially saying, you may be disappointed in yourself, but you have to be there for your team? Thoughts? Okay, I got thoughts on this.
Well, do you
why
aren't
they striking out? Like, strike him out at 6 or 4 years old. Like, why are we?
Okay, well, that's all. Wow, you are. I can't wait to see you on the sideline for KJ's first club soccer game. You're going to be the parent who gets kicked out, probably.
Not. I won't.
The So why, to answer your first question, why are they not pitching to kids at 4 and 5? Because it's not developmentally appropriate. They play t-ball at those ages, right? And so we have to remember these, despite the commitment, despite the cool uniforms or the $200 cleats the kids are wearing, they're still kids. They're not mini adults. And so here we have a 7-year-old who wants to perform well. And everyone, because this isn't, that's an age where kids like to show off. Look what I can do. Check this out, right? So when they fail, they're going to be upset. And there's going to be tantrums and tears and screaming because they are still, that's still a new experience. And they are bruised easily. So one of the reasons when I coach with kids, I rarely use sarcasm. Because they don't understand it.
Okay, sure.
And even if you're joking with them, they might not interpret it properly. So you have to be very careful with kids and their pride and ego because they bruise easily. So in this scenario, it comes down to how do you it's routines, right? It's breathing. It's how do you respond to negativity? You struck out. So what's your rhythm to get back in the groove and refocus? Some deep breaths, a trigger mechanism where you might, what I used to do when I was playing, and it's something I developed when I was an older player, and I played goalkeeper predominantly, and the goalkeeper gloves were sticky. So if you put water on them, they would get sticky. And when I made a mistake, most of the teams I played on were not very good. So I got shelled. I got scored on a lot. But I also made a lot of saves. But when I made mistakes, my routine would be to spit in my hand and rub it together. And so part of that would be getting my gloves ready because that would provide a little bit of moisture. But then it would also be my trigger of I spit that mistake away. I'm refocusing on the next play.
Okay.
And so there's all sorts of routines athletes, adults and kids can do to, recover from mistakes. But part of this also is teaching this player that, hey, you're not going to be the star of your team at all times, but you can be a good, this goes back to the life lessons. How can we be a good teammate when we're not performing to the level? You can be positive with your teammates. You can be cheering them on. You can be respectful. You can make plays on defense. You can find other ways to be a valuable member of your team. But then the other part of that solution, and this is something that I encourage coaches to do, and this is like, I feel like this is like a coach talk podcast.
This is getting to be, yeah, yeah. We can wrap it up.
But because I'll wrap it up. Okay. You had me on as a guest today. Well, is that there, it's reflection, right? It's three things. Write this down. What did I do well? What did I do well today? What could I improve on? And what lessons did I learn? And so this is a way to reflect it with your child. What did you do well today? I was connecting with the ball on the foul tips and extending my at bats, or I made a great play throwing the guy out at first. What did you do? What could you improve on? I struck out. What lesson did we learn from it? Well, I need to, fix my stance, or I need to swing the bat faster, or there are ways you can learn from these setbacks, because setbacks are part of the journey. The other thing this parent could do is just scream at the kid. Well, swing faster.
No, but
don't give them dinner at night.
No, as of course a consequence. Not. Of course not. I'm just gonna be like, guys, you have no idea what it was like. Let me tell you about my play in hoops. I went 2 seasons, almost 0-18 and 2-16,
and got thrown off the team.
Our parents actually said to us, "We're not attending games until you win. So if you guys think so, you want some big little feelings, we're showing up for you." Okay.
It goes.
Take a deep breath.
It goes back.
Head back in.
Goes back to start with the end in mind. What are we doing here with our kids in youth sports? And it goes back to the values that we want them to have, the habits we want them to build, so they can be successful students, businessmen and women, family
because
members.
You're saying the chances of them being a professional athlete are so tiny.
Less than half of a percent.
Okay, got it. And I always feel that to me, the kids that do become these Caitlin Clarks and Tom Brady's and Michael Jordan's. They're all self-starter. They're, mm-hmm. they're so internally driven that it wouldn't have mattered whether the parents showed up. I mean, obviously, like Michael Jordan's parents, Tom Brady's parents were super supportive, but it wouldn't even have mattered if Michael Jordan or Tom Brady's parents showed up. I mean, they taught them more integrity, but those two were so self-driven. So it was probably Caitlin Clark.
There are certain examples that people point to. They'll point to Tiger Woods.
Oh, well, right? His dad. Yeah,
And yes, he had success. And now look at necessarily what's going on with him and the rest of his life. So, but the example I'll use that really jumps out is Roger Federer. Okay,
Roger Federer. What does Roger do?
Well, he was one of the greatest tennis players of all time.
Sure.
Right? Okay. He did not commit to tennis full time until he was age 14. And his mom was a professional tennis coach, but he played multiple sports, which helped him become a better athlete. And it wasn't until he was and tennis wasn't even his favorite sport, but it was at 14 is when he committed. So for every person who wants to cite the Tiger Woods or Venus Williams, Serena Williams, there are also plenty of multi-sport athletes who find success.
Well, and Tom Brady was that too. Mm-hmm. He was almost a professional baseball player as well. And Michael Jordan was that great.
Yeah. Enough sports talk. Let's get into T-Swizzle.
I do enjoy. I like sports though. You know, it's just that mm-hmm. lesbian in me, I guess. I enjoy, hey.
It's a whole other conversation.
So why don't you like Taylor Swift? Taylor Swift's double album leaked last week, The Tortured Poets Department.
Get a hold of yourself.
Well, people have really turned for the most part. Longtime fans, mm-hmm. critics, people are saying it's so bad. I'm going to read you what is being described as the three worst lyrics.
Let's hear it.
Say these are laughable. Number three, you're not Dylan Thomas. I'm not Patti Smith. This ain't the Chelsea Hotel. We're modern idiots. That is from the Tortured Poets Department track. And people say that it's just, I guess, being self-aware counts for something, right? You know, at least she acknowledges that. But it was just such a horribly done lyric. Number two, we would pick a decade we wished we could live in instead of this. I'd say the 1830s, but without all the racists. I hate it.
Yeah,
here.
That one apparently was getting, a little lack of awareness.
Well, why? Because people were trolling her, saying, "Okay, so you'd rather die of dysentery or something?"
Like, no, it's more like, "Oh, you want to live in pre-Civil War times where slavery was, ultimately enforced." But but the qualifier is like, "Oh, there's no racists here." And,
number one worst lyric from her album: "You smoked, then ate 7 bars of chocolate. We declared Charlie Puth should be a bigger artist. I scratch your head, you fall asleep like a tattooed golden retriever." This is on the Tortured Poets Department.
Who is the tattooed golden retriever in this case?
I believe it's Post Malone. I think. Well, oh no, 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 Posty. Posty is in one of her songs, but I don't know. It's referring to some boyfriend.
Well, there was Matt Healy, I think, is one of them, and then there's like, it's at this point, I think the bigger question is what man, like the odds of you being a successful partner to Taylor Swift is so low. It's lower than becoming a professional athlete at this point.
Well, Travis Kelce, he's already hit the home run with sports, so
yeah,
he might
well,
as well go.
Until they break up, and they will, and then there's going to be a bunch of lyrics about him. She is a tortured poet, I'll tell you that much.
So you're not a fan. A lot of people are saying this is the beginning of the end, that somebody as big as Taylor the Swifties are sort of on the album. The thank you, Amy. Kim Kardashian has now lost 100,000 followers.
Oh, no. How is she going to survive?
Thank you, Amy. I know. And some of the lyrics for that are, I screamed, F you, Amy, to the night sky as the blood was gushing, but I forgot the way you made me heal. Everyone knows that my mother is a saintly woman, but she used to say she wished that you were dead. I pushed each boulder up the hill. Your words are still just ringing in my head. Ringing in my head.
So...
That was to Kim. That's to Kim.
Yeah, the fact that she did a double album. Maybe she should have just done one album, and made the bet to take the best 12 tracks and not stretch yourself out with with some of these lyrics.
A lot of people are saying that it's a big capitalist grab for mm-hmm. a billionaire, singer.
But how else is she going to express herself?
I actually, like I said, I was not a fan until I went to the Eras Tour this summer, and then I got it. It's magical.
I mean, she's been really doing amazing. This, what, for like almost 20 years? 17 years,
yeah,
something
she was
like
16,
that.
Yeah.
So, and she has some. Her catalog's incredible. Like when you hear a song, you can't help but, you know, it's she but kind of bob in your seat. But I'm not her market. I'm not her audience. And you know what? You call back from a few episodes ago. You die a hero, or you live long enough to become the villain. So
maybe this is
not the beginning of the end, because Swifties are nut jobs. Sorry, Swifties, they'll find their things to gripe about, but they'll also be lining up for the album, for the vinyl copy limited edition of the album, and selling out SoFi next year.
Well, I have to shout out my friend Jordy Cray, who's on TikTok. I love him. He does pop culture rants. And he now compares the Swifties to the January 6th Stormers. He says they're getting very hard to tell the difference. I love that analogy. I actually think it's accurate.
There's some, you know, when if you were to accurate. Do the Venn diagram, I'm sure there's some overlap.
He says that her fans have drank the Kool-Aid like the January 6ers. Mm-hmm. They believe so deeply that they're, and he actually blames her, like Donald Trump. He says she needs to stop, like, get out there and tell these people, get a life.
Yeah, go
you all
home.
Are nut jobs.
I love you very much, but go home.
Get a life and stop terrorizing people that don't like me. Who cares? You know? But anyway, so shout out to my friend Jordy Cray. All right, lastly, update on our fertility journey. First of all, we're taking you natural. Conception for her, conception for him. Do you feel anything different inside?
Of course. I feel more potent than ever.
That's good. That's what mm-hmm. they say. Okay, yeah. Good. Are you feeling like you're... because I have read that in the reviews.
I almost feel too potent.
I've read that in their reviews.
Okay.
So You Natural, by the way, is a company that is sponsoring the show, sponsoring Schman mm-hmm. and me. And they have a fertility aid. It's 5-star. Go and look at the reviews. Mm-hmm. I always tell people, do your own research. But I've heard from many of you that have slid in my DMs and you used it to conceive. It works extremely well, too, if you have irregular periods, PCOS, along that line. But there's also a male formula, which you are taking. And that is one of the reviews that the men say they feel more of a load, if you will.
I kind of feel like... there's it's a reference to the film Big Trouble in Little China when they're about to go into Lopan's dungeon and they drink the potion, they feel really good. The people who know Big Trouble in Little China will understand that reference.
I don't.
We have to watch that.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, there you go. So I guess if you and your man want to feel like Big Town, Little China. Big Town, Little China.
Big Trouble in Little China.
Big Trouble in Little China in your pants. What is your man's sack feel like? Big Trouble in Little China is what it feels mm-hmm. like.
Potion magnifies the person. If they are fast, it makes them faster. If they are good with a sword, it makes them better with a sword.
Okay, right now you get 20% off your Conception for Her and Conception for Him bundle on Amazon. So easy. If you're a Prime member, you're getting free shipping. Go to Amazon.com, type in You Natural, which is spelled EU Natural. Type in Fraser 20. Don't miss the 20% off bundle for Conception for Her, Conception for Him. And let us know what you think. Fraser, Fraser 20. And by the way, the promo codes for all of my clients and discounts are in the description of each and every one of these podcast episodes. Hero Breads. Oh my gosh. Chef's kiss. Do you love carbs? I'm obsessed. Give me a croissant. Give me a tortilla, baby, every day, slathered with some hummus. Yes, please. And then a lot of veggies, a little turkey burger in it. Okay. That's my own proprietary sandwich. Thanks. Hero Breads right now offering 10% off. Go to hero.co. Enter the promo code TSFS. You are getting 10% off. Now, Hero Bread is so delicious and flavorful, soft, fluffy. In fact, so fluffy that KJ loves it, slathered with butter and cinnamon every day. They're known for their products to have 0 to 1 grams of net carbs, zero sugar, and high in fiber. So what are you waiting for? Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use the code TSFS. TSFS at checkout. That's TSFS at HERO.CO. Want your life back? Order Hungry Root. It's actually as simple as that. Truly, Hungry Root is the best meal kit service I have ever worked with because they have meals that take 12 minutes. Guys, if you are a busy mom like I am, KJ now just started swim lessons. And on the night that he has swim lessons, we're not home until 6. I'm trying to make dinner, trying to get him rested and down for bedtime. When I see that number 12 and I know in 12 minutes I can have a healthy meal, I'm turned on. All right? You will be too. Hungry Root's website, so easy to use as well. You just go, you can type in a type of cuisine, or if you like chicken, or you can do preset where you tell them you're vegetarian, keto, or you're a meat lover. Right now, get 40% off. My listeners are getting 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/TSFS and get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/TSFS. Don't forget to use my link so they know who sent you and get 40% off right now and free veggies for life. I do have one last question for our lovely listeners who've been with us for so many years, and people, oh my God, people, by the way, were rolling, had me rolling. Over the weekend, you cleared out your, we traveled across country.
We cleared out our, but go on.
I swear to God, you guys, we live in a two-bedroom apartment currently as we were saving to purchase a house, and hopefully that will happen here soon. So I didn't take a dig at you.
Go on. No, let's get to the point. People were rolling.
But half of our apartment is ready preparedness. We have so much water stored.
Half of our apartment.
It is. We have so much water stored. We have so much stuff stored. So over the weekend, I made Schman. We had a whole nother box of disaster relief supplies. Mm-hmm. I go through this. And people were laughing. You had a gun holster. You don't even own a pistol.
Yet.
You had some sort of machete or knife.
It's a multi-tool.
And all these freezer or freeze-dried
MREs.
Meals. Oh my God, we got rid of a lot.
So is there a question here?
Oh, I was getting to that. I have one last question. So, you know, we're going to try on our own for a bit with our baby journey again, and then we'll take it from there. So one of the things, though, I do still have left over, their expiration date isn't for a year or two, fertility drugs. And a girlfriend of mine, I cannot for the life of me remember, she said that there are places you can donate your unused fertility drugs. So I just wanted to know if anybody needs them or wants them. I'm thinking the ones that are in the refrigerator I have to destroy because I can't ensure the shipping quality.
There's
you know,
some,
but if you
yeah.
live in the LA area and you want Zomactin,
no,
which is
just hang me up. Amateur drug dealing here.
Well, you'll meet people in a parking lot.
Can we go back to the emergency supplies?
Go back.
I feel like, you know, when an emergency takes place, if the big one happens here, earthquake-wise, there's a grid attack, you know, hackers knock the grid offline, you will be thanking me because I will have enough water for you and me and our son. I'll have food and supplies available for us. I'll have a solar panel that allows us to collect power to power our electronics.
There's no way that thing works.
Well, you know, there's how no about way. This? When that happens, you can do what you need to do. You can eat the plants that are growing in our pot, and KJ and I will reap the benefits of my preparedness.
Okay. Well, everybody said that. A lot of people side with you. They said, you know, they were laughing hysterically, but they said if anything were to happen, you'll be thanking him. And you were very prepared with the pandemic. You had toilet paper when no one else did. I never missed a beat with the pandemic.
There was a 2-week stretch when I'm walking back into the apartment with some different canned goods, and you're laughing, and you're like, nothing's going to happen. I said...
But, you know, it's just I find it comical because you're always so moody whenever I question you. I remember questioning you during the pandemic. I was like, oh, my God, you're so ridiculous. And you're like, you don't understand. There's this pandemic coming. You better take this serious. And you would like huff and puff and you make these hand gestures for me to stop. It's like, okay.
All right. I'll just stop caring for you. I guess it's every man for themselves around this place.
I adore you. Okay. I love it. I just, the level of intensity that you do everything with is, it's comical. It just is comical.
I'm an intense guy.
But let a smile in there and just say, you know, okay, let a smile. And just say, hey, you know
what? Is this how you smile?
I'm stockpiling some toilet paper because I read that there's going to be this. You always come in so hot with everything.
Someone's got to be on alert around here.
Lord. All right. For more info, at the Sarah Fraser Show on TikTok, Reddit, Instagram. Hit me on TikTok before it goes away. So please, I would love to.
Don't forget to like and subscribe. Is that what we do?
Yeah, we do that. Yeah, okay. And leave a review. Bye, everybody. Stars. Bye. Five stars.